Welcome back to another episode of Student Body Right, the complete college football podcast. I'm your host, as always, Nick Valinchak, better known as Nick from CWE, on all your favorite daily fantasy sites. And we are here to talk about the official kickoff of week one. This podcast is going to cover the Thursday and Friday night games. We'll talk a little DFS, see how things are likely going to come together. I'm not exactly sure why my computer is so slow, but yeah, it's going to be a fun one. There are, to me, this slate, this Thursday night slate, is definitely heaviest when it comes to the running back position. And we'll get there in a second. I like to keep it orderly. But just looking at it, you know, the first thing that jumps out to me is there are about six running backs I think you can take into consideration to put in your lineup that could get 30-plus fantasy points. There may not be any quarterbacks who get there. Really, there may not be. There are definitely some quarterbacks who can get there, but we'll see. Now, here's how we're going to do this, okay? And I want you to weigh in. Do you want to do game by game, or do you want to do by position? So for this first episode, we're going to go by position. Starting at the quarterback position, we only have three positions, thankfully, so we're not going to be spending a whole ton of time with six games on the slate. Trevor Lawrence is the highest-priced quarterback on the slate. Kind of not shocking. Obviously, Clemson highly favored to repeat as national champions or at least get there. I don't feel like this is a great situation to play Trevor Lawrence. You definitely want to play him when the games are going to be close. And this just does not really smell like that to me. I think this is a situation where the defense could end up scoring some touchdowns, which immediately, you know, hurts everybody on the offensive side of the ball. I think this is a situation where ETN can take a couple of touches to the house, and then what are you left with for Lawrence to make value at his price? You know, you need 30-plus fantasy points. I'm saying like that happens 10% of the time. Somehow Georgia Tech stays in. So I'm mostly off Lawrence. If I'm spending up, I'm looking at one or two of Kellen Mond or Desmond Ridder. Mond has the on-paper better matchup against Texas State, whose defense is actually not bad, but Texas A&M is from a whole different, you know, side of the world than Texas State. So, like, Texas State's stats might look great against, you know, the normal type of competition, but against a team like Texas A&M, I just don't think it stacks up. Ridder gets a much better matchup at home against UCLA. I think this is a situation where you could stack both he and Michael Warren, even though there's been some talk or some thought that Warren could see less of a workload. I think he's dynamic enough that he still can get work. And really, at the end of the day, I think if you take those guys, you could pretty well just capture all of Cincinnati's touchdowns. You know, from there, I don't see the point in playing Chase Bryce, even at his price. I don't think it's a situation where Bryce comes in and he sets the world on fire. I definitely think kid from UCLA, I think Dorian Robinson, Thompson Robinson, I think he's about as much of a trap as you could get. The Cincinnati defense is actually really good and is built to kind of deal with that type of player. You have some options with Tyler Huntley, Zach Wilson going up against each other if you want to do a game stack, but I actually have a good amount of respect for both defenses from Utah and BYU, so it's not my favorite situation. What is probably going to be LSU transfer Justin McMillan going up against James Morgan, FIU against Tulane. I think that has pretty good shootout ability. Both of those quarterbacks are priced at a point where it's very easy to see them exceeding value, which is always a plus. So I wouldn't blame you for, you know, bookending your lineups there and just kind of trying to make everything else fit. I think that's a viable strategy on this slate. Then you have Jaden Daniels getting the start for Arizona State, 5,600 on DraftKings. And I'm not going to waste time doing FanDuel and DraftKings. The pricing is somewhat different between those two sites, but just from a pure time perspective, I really don't want to take too much of it to try to sort out the differences in pricing. So we will definitely focus more on DraftKings. He's in play on DraftKings. I mean, I do think that it'll be a run-dominated game, but he is cheap enough that he can, you know, get you to where you need to go if he ends up taking one in himself. And then probably one of my favorite plays on the slate, as crazy as it sounds, is Woody Barrett, 4,900. I mean, he is their whole offense for Kent. Definitely could be a situation where he ends up with, you know, 9 fantasy points. I don't have a ton of respect for Arizona State's defense. You know, I think it's just one of those things that at some point, you know, Kent State's probably going to score like 14 points, maybe even 21 points. And if Barrett is behind all of them, he's more than likely going to get you to the place where you need to be. So I do want to have some exposure to him. So I'd say if I had to pick a favorite, I'd probably say Justin McMillan, because he's shown the ability to have that dual threat that we love out of our quarterbacks. I mean, it's very rare circumstances that you're just paying for a guy at quarterback who's going to get you points strictly through the air. You know, you want them to be able to get it done on the ground as well. All right, let's move on to the running back position. And this is where things certainly get a little bit more interesting. Right at the top, you've got Travis Etienne, Eno Benjamin, Josh Kelly, Mike Wart II, Jayshon Corbin, and Zach Moss. All these priced 9,500 to 7,200. If you'd listened to some of my previous episodes, I'd really written off the idea of Etienne. But after I ran my projection set, even with like 13 carries, Etienne was the second highest scoring running back on the slate. I think there's a very high probability that people are underestimating either how much he'll do or how much he'll play. He's expensive, so he is absolutely going to have to get it done. But I do think there's a higher chance that it's him getting it done than the quarterback. So as of right now, he's somebody that I am playing in my cash game lineup. People will definitely tell me I'm crazy for doing that, because it really forces you to save money at other positions. But I like the perceived floor and safety of playing him. Eno Benjamin was the first person in my lineup. Maybe they scale his workload back. It's so tough to say. I think he's still highly likely to hit 160 yards and somewhere between 2 and 3 touchdowns. And for that, I don't understand how you avoid it, especially since Josh Kelly, again, another school who we've heard some about, maybe Martell Irby, Kazmir Allen getting a little more work in the backfield, some coming off his plate, being a road dog to a pretty decent Cincinnati defense. It doesn't set up as well for Kelly as it does for a lot of the other teams. He's a guy that I will not use in cash games. I think he's perfectly playable in tournaments. If this slate was a little bit different, we might be singing a different song. But as it exists right now, I can't advocate to play Josh Kelly in your cash games. Michael Warren, I think you can. He's the opposite side of the game. He should be playing on the team that should be controlling the game flow. I think that, you know, 150 yards and a couple touchdowns is well within reach, and the upside being over 200 yards and 3 or potentially 4 scores. These things sound silly until they happen. I'm never going to predict someone to have a four touchdown game, but it's in the realm of possibilities. Jayshon Corbin, there's been some rumor again that, you know, we're not going to see a Travion Williams-esque workhorse this year, that it's going to be scaled back somewhat. It is a little bit reflected in the price. You know, he's not priced up to where Benjamin is or Kelly, but he also hasn't proven anything. So whereas I wouldn't play Kelly in cash, I'm far more interested in playing him in tournaments than I am Corbin. I will still have some exposure to Corbin, but it's really tough to say. You know, we oftentimes will do things in fantasy like say, well, we're going to play the running back for this team early in the year because they have a new quarterback and we want them to get settled. But it isn't often that we go for the inverse of that, where we say, maybe I'm going to rely on the quarterback a little bit because this guy is otherwise unproven and it might be, tough for him to, get into a rhythm. Zach Moss is the biggest question mark. He is priced way too cheap on DraftKings. I can make an argument in cash to stay away from ETN and to play Zach Moss instead, because while they don't have similar upsides in this game, I think they have similar floors. And if cash games are all about the floors, it might make sense to just play Moss so that you don't have to chase two really, really, really cheap players at the receiver position. And you can still – I'm just basically going to tell you what I'm looking at. I'm going to play two cheap quarterbacks. I want to play three of the high-priced running backs. I want to play one receiver that goes with one of my quarterbacks, and I have a value guy who I'll touch on a little bit later. So that's kind of my lineup construction here. If I go with ETN, I'm essentially going with the value guy and another cheap option. If I go with Moss over ETN, I'm sacrificing what I presume would be a much higher upside, but I'm able to take one of those punts at the wide receiver position and probably play someone I feel more comfortable with. So that is something I'm going to have to consider as we get closer to lineup lock. As we move down the list of running backs, I don't think I want to have too many pieces of the backups here. I don't think this is a situation where we'll see enough of them that it will be then they're not priced cheap enough. If it was even in years past, I could advocate for doing it because, you know, they'd be 4,500 and it's a lot easier. But Lynn J. Dixon is 6,300. You know, we've got Kabote from Texas A&M at 5,100. There are starting running backs who are priced under that. You know, Darius Bradwell has a huge opportunity here for production. Anthony Jones has a good opportunity for production. Those are guys I wouldn't take one stand on in cash games, but in tournaments, absolutely, these are guys we could look at. I don't think you really want to look at Katoa or Shaw, but a name that we can certainly discuss, and we will discuss right now, is Tyson Williams, transfer from South Carolina, who is listed at the top of the BYU running back depth chart. He is not an or. It's just him. 4,500, super, super difficult matchups. Very tough. Now, again, not looking at him in cash games, but at 4,500, this is a guy who is going to be able to get the job done. I think he can come up with between 15 and 20 fantasy points on the good side of things. So he's someone I want to have in my tournament pool. That's basically where I'm looking right now. Moving on to the wide receivers, I had been under the assumption, really, in recording previous podcasts, that we would see both Clemson receivers come in at this slate about $1,000 under where they were at. For me, where they're priced at probably doesn't put them even on my tournament radar. And that's something that could kill me, because it could very easily be a situation where Justin Ross or T. Higgins, one of the two, but probably not both, end up going like 3 for 120 and 2 touchdowns. And that's a huge game, and it's a 6-game slate, so it's a small enough slate that it could be likely that that is enough to be on the optimal. Conversely, the A&M receivers are $1,000 cheaper than him, but they're very tough to predict. There's probably 4 receivers if you count the tight end, who's a steep downgrade from both Jay Sternberger and Baylor Cup, who we expected to start this year. So I'm fine with taking some shots on them. I'm probably only playing one per lineup. When it comes to cash games, I'm certainly focusing on one of two of Darnell Mooney and Jalen McCleskey. I think they're probably the two safest receivers on the slate. Don't hate the idea of playing them both together in cash, because I think if you do that, you probably isolate a very high percentage of the touchdown equity in the passing game of Tulane, as well as the actual reception and yardage equity. It's not perfectly complementary. I think there is some cannibalism in doing that, but I think they're both very talented players. Kyle Williams, a good play. I kind of like Brandon Ayuk a little bit more. He flashed a little bit more to me down the stretch. Rashard Medeiros, you know, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of different things about him. Some people are on team, you know, this UCLA defense can be beat. Ritter, this should be Ritter's guy, but we've seen plenty of times this should be not come into fruition with Khalil Tate out of town. Khalil Lewis out of town. You know, there's shoes to step into. There's targets. There's touchdown equity, but he was more of an outside guy, whereas Medeiros usually comes in at the slot. So on a site like DraftKings, it might not be too bad because you have the reception potential, but I think we want to pay close attention in week one to see what is happening in the red zone when it comes to the passing game, because he might not get the targets we're thinking he will. Theo Howard, surprisingly, a backup on the depth chart coming off some injuries from training camp. So at his price, that effectively kind of takes him off my radar, except it's some GPP shots, because this could just be coach speak where he ends up, you know, not playing much in the first quarter. And then in crunch time when they're ideally coming from behind, he's there. So I'll have some exposure to him. The Utah and BYU passing games, both of them are pretty well out of reach for me. I just don't want to deal with that. That's just kind of my take on it. I think there's maybe some potential in using some of them in tournaments. Britton Covey on DraftKings could be okay, but be forewarned, he's probably not going to have like a monster game all year. His monster game is going to be like 10 for 100. That's it. He's got very low touchdown equity, but he's a possession receiver, which can lend themselves to be useful on a site like DraftKings. Anton Dixon from Kent State, he's a guy I think you can consider at 4,600. He would probably be the guy Woody Barrett's looking at. Then below that, the kind of guys I'm really thinking about taking some shots on are going to be guys like Trent Cloud from Cincinnati is set to be one of their outside receivers. I think he's a guy who could be Khalil Tate replacement when Ritter looks downfield. Alex Pierce fits that same mold. So those are two guys I would definitely say I would have some interest in. Certainly Demetric Felton, who is on the two deep in an not or position at 3,500, playing for UCLA against Cincinnati in a situation where they should be trailing and should be doing a lot of passing. I mean, at 3,500, if he can get you 12 to 15 points, you're going to be golden. Probably my favorite play in this situation here is DeAndre Overton. He is set to take Amari Rodgers' place in the Clemson rotation as he deals with an injury. You're looking at the potential of having a guy who needs to kind of get into game shape, for lack of better terms. He just hasn't played enough that I think you can confidently say that when the starters go out, he'll go out. He's a guy who could play the whole game is what I'm saying. This is a high scoring game, and he very well could end up playing the whole game at 3,400. To me, he's a cash game guy, so that you can, you know, you're getting exposure to a high potency offense for very little money. And it could end up with a you know, two catch game for 13 yards and he's got you 3 points. But in your cash games, it's not going to hurt you too much. But he also has the potential of staying in the whole time, being the number three while Higgins and Ross are on the field, then being the one when Chase Bryce is on the field. So there's a lot of upside there as well for 3,500. I mean, you could have a guy that ends up with 7 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown. And at this price, you know, even if he just goes for like 4 for 70 and a touchdown at this price, he's going to absolutely crush it. And he's definitely going to end up being my value play that I use the most. So that gives us a pretty good look of what Thursday is going to look like. Now let's move on to Friday. The Friday slate is definitely a little more interesting because we still do have some top dollar running backs, but it's far more consolidated than it was the day before. I think there's five. I still think, okay, so we're talking five instead of six, and potentially the most potent of all of the college running backs and Jonathan Taylor playing. But I think this is a situation where certainly these, outside of Taylor, I think these are the guys that maybe carry a little more risk than the ones before. And I think this is really when we see some very high-end wide receivers, and now we start to see some of the more interesting quarterbacks come into play. So there's a few depth charts I still haven't seen. I haven't seen Rutgers, though I hear that McLean Carter, the Texas Tech transfer, is likely to start there. UMass, here's why I'm interested in UMass. I think that there's some potential for them to score some points. We've seen over the past couple of years, from Tajay Sharp to Mark and Michelle to Andy Isabella, that they've had a receiver who's been very valuable to daily fantasy college football. And right now we're talking about, you know, no receiver on this team priced on over 5K. So there's great tournament upside there for a team who is bad, worst defense on the slate. So Rutgers has some players that are going to be, you know, in play as well, but I think there's some potential in UMass. So we'll just say that. I haven't seen it. I do see that it's out, and it looks like, you know, when we get there, I'll talk about the receivers. But let's start with the quarterbacks. So we have a quarterback that's approaching almost 10K who's never played college football before, and he's currently stuck in a quarterback controversy. And we saw this with Mike Gundy last year where, you know, he didn't want to tell us if it was going to be Taylor Cornelius or Drew Brown, and it ended up being Taylor Cornelius, and we never heard about Drew Brown. Gut reaction is that it's going to be Sanders. I think he's got a lot of upside in this game, but he's going to have to do a lot because he's 2K priced up above a couple of quarterbacks who I think could really do some damage here. You know, so it's certainly tough. From a tournament perspective, you can gain a tremendous amount of equity on the fact that it isn't public knowledge. We may not know before the game starts late, 10:30 on Friday night. We might not know. And just because he costs so much, I'm going to have a couple of Sanders lineups, knowing that I might be flushing the money down the toilet. But if I play him and nobody else does, and you know, these other quarterbacks stay at 32 points and he does something crazy and scores 45 or 50 fantasy points, because Oregon State's an awful football team. And Oklahoma State has some weapons. You know, there's obviously some potential upside in doing that. Steven Montez, who I think is very easy to predict typically in easy matchups, you know, you can work with him, and especially with a little bit of uncertainty in the backfield after Trayvon McMillan has left. You know, they may lean on Montez and LaVisca Chenault some more, so that's stack A. You know, I think for cash games, it's something I'm certainly going to look at, and even though they're costly, there's, you know, a running back, a starting running back in a great matchup for 4.5K that I think you could really help massage the rest of your lineup. Jordan Love, again, against an awful defense, one of the best quarterbacks, doesn't do enough running, but he's still there. Brian Lewerke, who, you know, for the most part was just a quarterback, and that's it. Michigan State, we know they're going to run the football. So I don't have a ton of interest in Lewerke, but the matchup makes him interesting. Sindelar, again, probably not a ton, but he's a guy throwing a football to Rondale Moore. So there's that. There's certainly some upside there. Blake Barnett, even against Wisconsin, is interesting to me. I highly doubt this will be a ceiling game, and he's not dirt cheap, so you're not really winning that battle. But comparative to where he's going to be, and also he was a, you know, Alabama transfer, so, you know, talent got him to Bama in the first place. It also got him out of Bama in the first place, but that's neither here nor there. I think he's a good tournament option. Jamie Newman is certainly very interesting. I do not think he's going to be afraid to run the ball. Utah State, I think they're a tough enough defense that it makes me worry a little bit about Newman for cash, because rather than play someone like Montaz, I would certainly rather save $1,200 and try to get, you know, two stud receivers in there. But I don't love the matchup, so it's certainly a little bit, you know, it's an interesting possibility. That's all I'm going to say. Moving on from there, Jake Luton, this is a decent matchup for him. I think this should be a high scoring affair. He's shown on occasion that he can get the job done at 5,600. He's a decent cash game play. If McLean Carter starts, I think he's a good cash game play. Definitely not looking at Jack Cohn. There's no reason to consider that. Malik Henry. Okay, so he's not. That's right. Carson Strong is starting over Malik Henry. Not a ton of interest in Strong. Decent price. I don't hate it. Don't hate it. But something that is certainly interesting is the fact that Randall West is going to start the season as the starting quarterback for UMass, a team that's definitely, you know, likely to be playing from behind. And he's $4,500. You know, we got three receivers, all of whom I'm expecting to score over 30 fantasy points. All of them can score over 40 fantasy points. I'm not talking about a situation where you play all three of them, but, you know, you take the $4,500 running back we're talking about, you take the $4,500 quarterback, now you are talking about a situation where you could get a decent quarterback still and probably like three top-tier offensive weapons that should produce. Just food for thought. Moving over to the running back spot, when I did my projections, so for what it's worth, Spencer Sanders was my highest projected quarterback. The second highest was Montez. Like, Jamie Newman is the value play. That's what I came up with, Jamie Newman, and I haven't statted out Randall West yet. Zach Smith for Tulsa, also 4,500. I don't hate it, but I just don't see this being the week to go there. But again, I don't hate it. I mean, can you imagine the idea of playing Smith and Randall West and they somehow get like 20, 25 fantasy points and you slammed in J.J. Taylor and Chenault and Moore and Tylan and they all put up 40 fantasy points? Like, you're starting way ahead of the field. But I'd say that's probably an unlikely scenario. Always fun statting a running back and seeing their projection at 41.44 fantasy points, but that's what we're dealing with Jonathan Taylor. That's the projection I have for him, and that's with two touchdowns. So that's with no catches, that's with no yards receiving, that's no receiving touchdowns, that's all rushing output. So he's probably going to be the guy I'm going to try to put in my lineup. I think he's got the safest floor ceiling combination. I mean, you are talking about a guy whose ceiling is over 50 fantasy points. Beyond that, I have all of the other guys from Connor Hayward to Chuba Hubbard all at 30 to 32 fantasy points. If anything, I would probably be looking at the cheaper of the options with Bright or Hayward, even though I think Jamar and Chuba Hubbard are very good options. I'm all about saving money, and those guys scoring two more points for $600 less is not enough to move the needle for me. You know, Cade Carney will have some weeks we could play him. You know, Jordan Conkright is a guy I think potentially here or there. We could play him, just not guys I'm overall wild about. Alex Fontenot is in a good matchup for 4,900, you know, 16 fantasy points is what I have him projected for. So I think there's some meat on the bone there. For me, Xander Horvath, 4,200. I thought he was 45. It's 4,200. Starting running back for Purdue against Nevada. I mean, I think this guy could end up coming in at around 16 to 20 fantasy points. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination it's a layup, but we saw, you know, Purdue running backs fare fairly well last year. This is a scenario I don't mind, you know, looking at some of these guys. You know, I haven't got the projection yet on Raheem Blackshear because obviously Rutgers didn't want to release their depth chart in time, and I'm gathering that maybe some information has come out. He's a guy I'd be interested in against what's just a horrible UMass defense. You know, I'm probably going to go with Horvath, probably going to put a lot of my eggs in his basket, follow that up with Fontenot. And then I'm really going to be trying to hit some of these heavy hitters at the top. Wide receiver, yeah. Kind of goes without saying that the three guys at the top are highly likely to be the most likely to succeed. I actually have Tylan, you know, and strangely enough, I actually have Isaiah Hodgins projected more than Chenault and Moore. This is a situation where I probably will trust my eyes more than the projections. But at the same time, you're talking about an Oregon State offense that was able to move the ball last year. He's the top dog, you know, in the passing game. I have him 8 receptions, 125 yards, and a touchdown. I don't feel like that's outside of the realm of possibility. I mean, I think he could come close to those kinds of numbers, and this Oklahoma State defense is still going to be bad. It's still a Big 12 defense. It's on the road. It's not a great situation to start out in. I think that game has blow-up potential. So I don't think it's that crazy to consider Hodgins as salary relief from one of those guys. There's very few situations where, you know, there are some guys like Seosi Mariner somehow ends up near 20 fantasy points for me against Wake Forest, because we know Wake Forest is awful. I'm presuming he's going to be their top passing target, as they've lost a lot this year. He's not priced at it. You know, Savon Scarver is priced as their top option. But I think it's Mariner, from all things I've seen and read, that could be the top guy. I'd rather take some shots on him. Randall St. Felix, I've got him coming in at 24 fantasy points because I think, you know, they're going to try to throw the ball deep. He's a dynamic athlete. I think he can certainly get open and cause some damage. I don't even have him projected for a full touchdown. Then you have some guys down here like Warren Jackson, who I presume will be the number one for Colorado State. I don't have much respect for the Colorado defense. I think that they are susceptible. At very least, you know, Colorado State is going to have to throw. Preston Williams is no longer in town. I would not be shocked if Warren Jackson was a guy that stepped in. Tyjon Lindsey, Oregon State likely to be their number two with, I believe it's Trayvon Bradford on the mend. You know, there's some value options here at 4,900. I know that there was a cheaper one down here, the number three for Oklahoma State, Champ Fleming. You know, maybe he doesn't end up being it, but he's number three on the depth chart. He's 3K. You know, we were just oohing and aahing about DeAndre Overton for Clemson, but this is another good situation here. I don't know why I don't see him. Maybe he wasn't 3K. So Champ Fleming's. Oh, for Oregon State. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at the wrong team here. Yeah, so the same thing kind of exists here. It's a guy who's cheap, who happens to be the likely number three on this offense on a team who's going to throw the ball a ton of times because they're likely to be playing from behind. So I think you could take some chances there. You know, I early on my strat, I don't really have a strategy for this. Whereas, you know, I really like the fact that Woody Barrett's a decent candidate to crack 15 fantasy points for 4,800 on Thursday. And DeAndre Overton, I feel like, is a guy who could crack 15 fantasy points at 3,400. You're and having some quarterbacks in the under 6K range that I think, you know, could equal the guys like Trevor Lawrence, probably not playing as much, and Kellen Mond maybe yielding to running game. And you can't rule out the fact that the defense might make a couple of scores in some of these games that really assist in keeping the offensive players from scoring as much. You know, whereas that came together really well, I think this is a little bit of a different slate where I don't necessarily know that you're dropping too low in your quarterback. I kind of want to play the safety of Montez or Jordan Love, who I think should pretty easily hit 28 to 32 fantasy points. That's comfort. Probably isn't tournament winning, but the good news is in your cash games, you don't have to win tournaments. You know, dropping in Xander Horvath, maybe dropping in Champ Flemings, and if you don't feel comfortable there, Warren Jackson, a Randall St. Felix, someone who's a little bit on the cheaper end there, so that you have some salary to build in guys like Chenault, guys like Tylan Wallace, who are highly likely to be able to perform in a very big way. That's kind of the direction I'm going. So I'll be back tomorrow breaking down the full Saturday slate. That's going to be a hell of a podcast to listen to because we got a lot of games going on. These 6 and 7 game slates turn into 10 and 12 game slates. So thanks for listening. Make sure to check us out on studentbodyright.com. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter at studentbodyright. Check me out on Twitter at Nick from CWE. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.